So in our first reading, we hear of the second speech of Job. You recall the story of Job, the man who had nearly everything. His name, from the ancient language, could be translated to any man. You are the town he was from, can be translated into anywhere. So this was any man from anywhere who was faithful and devoted to God. He was so righteous that he would even burn incense for his kids in the event they forgot to do so that day. And here he is, living his life, everything is good. And then the Satan. Now, when we refer to Satan in the book of Job, because the book of Job is probably 6,000 or 7,000 years old, it predates the understanding of Lucifer as Satan, but rather Satan, meaning accuser, was the one zipping around the world, seeing how things were going and reporting back to God. And the Satan and God were talking one day, and he said, "You just like this guy. That's why everything goes his way. I bet if difficult things came his way, he would drop you." God said, "Do what you must." So Job loses his crops, loses his livestock. Every building on his property is destroyed, and his family dies as well. He's sitting on that dung heap, and his three friends come to console him. "Oh, Job, you must have done something wrong, because that's why you are being punished." "No, that's not the way God works. I don't know what's going on. I don't like it. But God is not behind this." And that's his point in this reading. Right now in his life, he feels nothing but despair. But the undercurrent of his life is that knowledge and that love of God and his steadfast belief that God will care for him. And after all the trials and all the tribulations and a couple of chapters devoted to God's speaking to Job, saying, "Let me explain to you exactly what's going on here," Job understands to a greater degree than he was ever capable before. And everything comes back to him. Twice the crops, twice the livestock, twice the amount of property, and his children all come back with his wife. That's what it is to be faithful. That's what it is to keep steadfast understanding of how much you are loved by God. Today's second reading, we hear about St. Paul saying that he's got to do what is right. This is what he is called to do. He is called to be in service of the gospel. Not just because he wants to, or he's been asked to. It's not just obligation. But he also recognizes that he's in love with Jesus Christ and wants to do everything he can to demonstrate his love for Christ by the gifts and the service he repays to the Lord. And then, of course, in our gospel, always that question, so are the apostles married? Well, right here, we see that Jesus went into the home of Simon Peter, and whose mother-in-law was sick. So yes, Peter was married, and Jesus cured his mother-in-law. Jesus was in service to his father. His father asked, "Please go down there. Help the people understand that what I'm asking is not so great. It's not so insurmountable. And if you go down there as a human being, you can demonstrate to them exactly how it is to live, how to endure the trials and tribulations of everyday life, and how to stay faithful." And that's what we are called to be, is faithful servants of the gospel, to understand our role in God's plan of creation. So it is that time, once again, to deliver what I lovingly refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. So here it comes, buckle up. First and foremost, right off the bat, we are doing well as a parish. Thank you so very much for your generosity. But we know that there are three aspects to stewardship: prayer, service, and generosity. We suggest that you pray. You come to Mass to pray. We invite you to join us at the Rosary before Mass. How many times have you heard one of the friars say, "Say the Rosary every day"? We pray with our families. We gather together with friends. We have a prayer opportunity. Christ Renews His Parish, which is coming up next month. We strongly suggest that you spend time in adoration. That's prayer. And the attitude that we have as a mature adult is different than we had as a kid. Because I don't know if you were like me, but I knew that three Hail Marys plus three Our Fathers plus three Glory Bees might get me a B on the math test, even if I didn't study. Doesn't always work that way. So we don't just pray when we need something. We are constantly giving thanks to God. This week was Catholic Schools Week, and the school children were very gracious and loving, and they wrote lots of cards to the friars and the deacons. And I've got some of those cards with me here today. They're wonderful, they're adorable. And in case you were unsure, not once, but twice, I don't mind telling you, one of these children has said that I am the greatest deacon in the whole world. It is in print. In gratitude, there's lots of notes in here. Thank you for helping us with our first communion. Thank you for visiting the classroom. This is what it is to be a grateful heart, as simple as a handmade card. This one's wonderful. They have the liturgical color correct. They even have the way the deacon wears his stole right. Why I am bald, I certainly hope this child is not a prophet. But, oh well. This week you're going to be getting a mailing from us. It's going to have a lovely brochure in it. Because, well, we believe in Jesus. It has lots of statistics, some photos of us in this parish. We're letting you know that we have 3,884 registered families in this parish. Last year alone, the priests spent 689 hours devoted to reconciliation. We had 114 baptisms, and you can read the rest. This is our success story. There's also a panel in here on our income and our expenses. As I said, we're doing well. This statement shows that we have $1,149,000 in surplus last year. Again, thank you very much. But you may know from your household that a surplus doesn't always last long. Our annual offertory is in the neighborhood of $3.5 million. If something like COVID were to hit again, we could survive for 3.5 or 4 months. Then we lock the doors. All the employees get laid off. We don't have any other income. There are some that don't quite understand where a Catholic Church gets its money. So let me put it to you this way. Pretend, and this is strictly hypothetical, I get so upset with Father Jim that I'm out of here, I'm gone, I'm going to start my own church. And there's about 100 of you that want to go with me. So we buy an abandoned 7-Eleven. I've always had this dream of having a big gulp of Jesus. So that would be the big gulp of Jesus church. But there's 100 of you that go with me. And you know that I need to be paid, and we need to buy the land, and we need to get insurance, and we need to get utilities, and all the other things that go with it. And goodness knows if the parking lot needs to be restriped. Well, I need to look to the 100 of you that have come with me to make all this work. So we take that $1 million or $2 million or $3 million, whatever it is, and we divide it by 100. That's your portion of offertory, so that this little church or the big gulp can sustain itself. That's why we recognize that many Pentecostals tithe in the amount of 25 to 35% of their income. The Old Testament says 212 times that you should tithe Tithe means to give 10%. For most Catholics, 10% is, oh my gosh, what a stretch. Catholics, on average, across the United States of America, give a little less than 1% of their gross income. To go from 0 to 10% is unthinkable, and I know that. For those of you that are giving sacrificially, thank you so very much. You're making all this work. For those of you that might not be on board yet, I would ask you to give something, a dollar, $5 a week. You're not going to get to that 10% overnight, nor are we asking you to. Maybe if you're giving 10 or 15 and you could go to 20, even better, because we also need to have a budget to work off of, and if it's this time of year that we need to start putting a budget together. Now, you've also noticed in the last couple of years, while yes, there was a second spring campaign to build $13 million worth of buildings and fixtures down the end of the block, there have not been any asks for specific monies to do some emergency repairs. For instance, our computer crashed over the summer. The network went down. It was an $86,000 fix. We did not come to you with hat in hand. In September, a main sewer line out of the parish hall just gave up. Cast iron, it had been there for 50 plus years, severely cracked, $24,000 in repairs. We did not come to you asking for a special collection. The HVAC unit in the parish offices, one of them went, $14,000. And one we're in the midst of right now, we've got the budget for it, we're actually waiting for parts, is the air conditioning chiller in the parish hall. $130,000 repair. We are not coming to you with hat in hand. Because of your regular generosity, because of the fact that you've been willing to give. And again, let me go back to prayer for a minute. You don't just pray when you need it. We pray every day that we might be in that communication with God, that we might hear his voice, and that we might know the right thing to do. Generosity is the same way. Giving a little all the time will make sure that we can sustain the operation here. Here's another interesting fact. Baby boomers, as we know, are beginning their return home back to God. Baby boomers, on average, contribute to 12 different charities, religion being one of the predominant ones, and they are very generous with their giving. The current generation, I can't even keep track of what letter it is anymore. The current generation thinks about two charities, and religion is not on the list. As the baby boomers die off with larger amounts of offertory, they're being replaced by a younger generation that is a fraction of that amount of money. So if we want to sustain ourselves in the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years, we need to be thinking about future offertory as well as today's operating expenses. And so we ask you to consider what you're giving and to do the right thing. I'm not going to give you a dollar figure. In the bulletin, there's a cute little sheet. If you love math and you love figures, there's something there for you. But I would ask you, gee, what's your cell phone bill every month? How does that compare to your offertory? You come here to receive the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, a priceless gift that we are happy to share, to help you partake in this gift. And we ask you to do the right thing. But we know that generosity is prayer, stewardship is prayer, service, and generosity. Those three headings. Years ago, we used to refer to it as time, talent, and treasure. And I, for one, kept getting confused. Because the reader, when they came up, is that giving of their time or their treasure? I'm sorry, or their talent? Time or talent? It's both. With this designation, prayer is what we do on our own at home, in the Adoration Chapel, gathered to hear his community. Generosity is what you do through your envelope offertory, through money you put in the basket, or through your electronic giving through Faith Direct. Service is what we do in service to each other, the way that Jesus was in service to the people of God, the way that Paul was in service to the Jews and the Gentiles, living amongst them, practicing their customs, so that he might be like them to help them understand the gifts that God has given us. It's kind of daunting when we think about the service needs of the parish. It takes about 35 ministers for Mass to happen. Greeters, ushers, a medical person, should be 3 altar servers, could be 2 readers, a cantor for the other Masses, 4 to 6 Eucharistic ministers, maybe 8 if they're helping us with the paten. And that number just, I didn't include everybody. But if it is 30 people a Mass, 6 Masses a weekend, I think that math is 180, right? 6 times 3 is 18. 180 people are needed every Sunday just to make Mass happen. So I ask you, is there something you could do? Because while this is the Sermon on the Mount, and we need to be conscious of that, there's also opportunities. Let me give you a quick rundown of all the ministries where we have enough volunteers. You ready? That's it. Nowhere. COVID decimated so many volunteer organizations. We're still looking for people to come back to help. So you're going to get this brochure in the mail, accompanied by a card where we're going to ask you to make a commitment. Again, it helps us budget, right? We know what folks are going to be able to offer to us. But I don't want you thinking this is just about the money, because stewardship is prayer, service, and generosity. On the back of the card, if you need prayer, please write it in here, and we're going to offer your prayer, your need, at Masses here at the parish. There's also a space on here if there's a ministry that you'd like to volunteer, where you can be of service to God and the people of this community. Again, do not walk out of here thinking that things are bleak. They're not. We are doing very, very well. And again, thank you for your support of this parish. St. Andrew's is a wonderful place to worship. It's a great place to work. This is my full-time job. And it's a wonderful place to be in community with like-minded Catholics who are here to love and serve the Lord. But we all need to do our part. I was a Coast Guard reservist for 8 years, and after that I went into the Coast Guard Auxiliary. There were 5 or 7 years where I was very active. I was the flotilla commander. It's kind of like the president of the club. And in the last 5 years, I haven't done much. I pay my dues. And it's these moments when I think of that line from Groucho Marx. I don't know if I would want to be a member of any club that would have me as a member. I haven't done anything with the auxiliary in years. I'm not a helpful participant in that flotilla. It's time for me to say, thanks, let me move on and make room for somebody else. Because I believe if you're going to be a member of an organization, you need to step up and be part, be heard, make a difference, join the group. Let us all pull on that same rope together that we might achieve the success we hope to. We know there was a big project at the end of the block, that wonderful addition to the school that was much needed. There are other things that we think we need as well. One of them is a freestanding daycare facility. Lots of need in this area. Right now we accommodate 15 children. We think that need could grow to 60 or 70. We've got to build, we've got to plan, we've got to think about how we're going to do this and where is it going to go. But there's a need. It could be a wonderful addition to the campus that children who come here for daycare could then just be in a space not too far away to start their kindergarten and into their elementary school years. So there's opportunities here as well to grow and to foster additional faith amongst each and every one of us, that we may grow closer to our Lord. So again, you're going to get this envelope in the mail. If you need your tax statements from last year, we've got those at the welcome desk. And I do want to point out, because this point is not lost on me, if you were to put a $100 bill in the offertory every week, we wouldn't know you did it. There's no record. If you put an offertory in an envelope that has your name on it, we can certainly give you credit that you can use for that tax statement for your tax filing this year. So there are many of you that are giving anonymously. Don't stop. Thank you. But we can't keep a record of that, and neither can you. And it also, again, makes it that level of difficulty for budgeting purposes. So again, thank you for all you do, for those of you who do so much, for those who give so much, for those who sacrifice so much. For those of you that aren't quite on board yet, do something. A dollar, a $10 bill. You can do it electronically. You can put it in the basket. You can ask for envelopes. We will send them to you. But it's time. It's time for all of us to participate. 3,800 families, there are 2,100 tax statements. You can do the math. Some folks aren't getting a tax statement. Perhaps they're the ones giving the $100 bill in the collection every week. I don't know. And I'll just think that. But again, thank you from the Friars, from all of us in the parish office who rely on you for our financial stability, and all the things that happen at this parish that are so great and wonderful as we give glory to God and care for one another.